A reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember quite well when my wife and I welcomed our son, Stefan, into this world. Seeing the baby whom God had miraculously brought into being from our marital union remains one of the most powerful testimonies to God as creator that I have ever experienced. And it was not long after his birth that he began opening his mouth and turning his head, sort of like this. Any of you parents who have raised children know exactly what that means for a baby. He wants to begin to suckle at his mother's breast. And once he tasted what was inside, there was no stopping him. He was a vigorous and frequent drinker of his mother's breast milk. And he would be let it be known very, very prominently when he was ready for another chug-a-lug session. It is this familiar image from life that is the basis for the Apostle Peter's central exhortation of our reading from his first epistle. Like newborn infants, crave the pure spiritual milk, that by it you grow into salvation, since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. No matter how long these Christians to whom Peter the apostle was writing, no matter how long ago that they had been born from above in holy baptism, it had been since they had been brought from death in sin to life in Christ, yet Peter encourages them all to continue to be like newborn babies, craving pure spiritual milk, turning their ears and their heads to hear the word of God. And what is the pure spiritual milk that Peter is speaking about here? Obviously, it's not the literal milk that we put on our cereals this morning. It's not even that Indiana milk given to the winner of the Indy 500 every May to guzzle down. And it's not even the milk and honey given to some of the newly baptized in early baptismal practice to remind them that they were now in Zion. Now, the pure spiritual milk referenced here is a metaphor for the Word of God that nurtures our new life in Christ. Baptism is an initiation sacrament, bringing us into life from death. It is the Word of God and the Lord's Supper that are those nurturing means by which Christ continues that life of growth in him, that new life that he gives in holy baptism. And Peter gives us an indication that these Christians to whom he is writing were Christians who were already communing. As he says, quoting Psalm 34, since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Certainly they have tasted the word before, but they've also tasted of Christ through his very body and blood. Thus, even though Peter is writing to Christians who have been baptized, to Christians who have been communing, not just to new baptized babes of the faith, yet he exhorts them to be like babes who crave pure spiritual milk of God's word. And just as Peter had expressed immediately before his word, before this text, he actually expresses, what is it that this milk gives us? What is it that it reveals? Just in the words leading up to chapter 2, we read these words from Peter's epistle. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is the very reality that is revealed in the pure milk of God's word, Christ and his saving work for you. It is also important to note that craving for pure spiritual milk does not come naturally for human beings as a baby's craving for her mother's breast milk. No, we don't naturally turn our heads to God's word, naturally open in delight in that word. Peter knows the human condition, and notice the cravings that he brings up immediately before this exhortation. He says, so put away all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy and all slander. These are the constant cravings of the human condition, of your condition and mine. And guess what? They don't go away when you turn off of Clinton Street up Martin Luther Drive. They don't even go away when you walk through the doors of Kramer Chapel. What we cannot do on our own, namely to put these cravings away, Christ has done, and he daily does for you by uniting himself to you in your baptism, so that these cravings of the old Adam may daily die and be replaced with a thirst, a desire for God's word. There's a great lesson here for each of us in this first chapel, morning chapel service of this new academic year. The majority of you are here to prepare to become pastors and deaconesses. Most of you were baptized as infants two or more decades ago, and you've been in the church for a while. You have tasted of the Lord many times and seen that he is good. You may be of the opinion that you no longer need the milk of God's word anymore. You've graduated from that baby stuff, and you're ready to move on to the meat and potatoes of other theological books and learning. But I want to remind you that milk not only nurtures infants in those early months of life, but it nurtures you all the way through life. My son is now 19 and 6'3 and still drinks a lot of milk. The word of God, especially the familiar narrative of Jesus' life lived for you, of his death in your place, of his resurrection that his victory may be your victory, not only nurtures young Christians, newborn baby Christians, it nurtures every Christian. It nurtures every pastor and deaconess throughout life, throughout its entire journey. And today, Peter urges each of you to be like newborn babes each and every day in this chapel, each and every day in the classrooms of this seminary, opening your ears and turning them towards the preacher and the teacher who is delivering the pure milk of God's word to you. Today, Peter is calling you, in the power of your baptism, to put away the cravings of your old Adam, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, slander, and to crave for Christ, whom we hear and whom we taste in this word, You have the very rare and unique opportunity, and sometimes people don't realize it until they've left the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. You have the rare and unique opportunity at this seminary to hear and to study God's holy word, to hear and to see Jesus day after day, week after week, year after year. Don't miss or waste these opportunities. No matter how long you have been a Christian, no matter how much you have learned before arriving on this campus, be like newborn Christians, newborn babes, who crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word each day, that you may continue to grow and mature as a servant, being prepared to serve Christ's church. Peter's exhortation to crave pure spiritual milk is expressed well in the prayerful words of the hymn, "Speak, O Lord, your servant listens." And I'd like to read that hymn. "Speak, O Lord, your servant listens. Let your word to me come near. Newborn life and spirit give me. Let each promise still my fear. Death's dread power, its inward strife, wards against your word of life. Fill me, Lord, with love's strong fervor, that I cling to you forever. Oh, what blessing to be near you and to listen to your voice. Let me ever love and hear you. Let your word be now my choice. Many hardened sinners, Lord, flee in terror at your word, but to all who feel sin's burden, you give words of peace and pardon. Lord, your words are waters living when my thirsty spirit pleads. Lord, your words are bread, life-giving. On your words my spirit feeds. Lord, your words will be my light through death's cold and dreary night. Yes, they are my sword prevailing and my cup of joy unfailing. As I pray, dear Jesus, hear me. Let your words in me take root. May your spirit ever be near me, that I bear abundant fruit. May I daily sing your praise, from my heart glad anthems raise, till my highest praise is given in the endless joy of heaven. Amen.